Open your Bibles with me, if you would, to the book of Proverbs. And we started this book last week, and the book of Proverbs is known as the wisdom book or the life book, really. And he started out last week, Solomon in his first chapter here was talking about just what it really means. He gave us a number of words, 10 specific words that deal with wisdom and that deal with just living life appropriately and rightly. And now he gives us this perspective. It's almost like a kid going out into the world for the first time. How many of you here have moved out of your parents' house? Raise your hand. If you're out on your own, you're no longer under your parents' roof. Okay. A few of you have me scared. Now, can you remember the first time you moved out? I remember when I moved out of my parents' house, and I had always, it had been 4 or 5 years in the making. I had planned my exit many times. I even got to the point where I was trying to sign up for the military just to get out of my dad's house, because I was an evil little kid, and some of you knew me back then, and I was just messed up. And so what happened was, the Lord, every time, he stopped me, and then I got saved. And then it was just like, I didn't want to move out of their house anymore. I was okay. I was good. I had a job. I was going to school, and everything was going well. And then the Lord sent me to the mission field, and I was 18 years old, and I moved 3,600 miles away, and just overnight, I went from living in my parents' house to being responsible for an entire mission team that was going down to Nicaragua. And I got to tell you, I was a little freaked out. Okay, it was a daunting experience because there was no supply chain. There was no bailouts. There was no, okay, well, here, we're going to loan you some money. I was in another country, thousands of miles away, no phones, no internet, nothing. So basically, if I messed this up, it was all on me. And I got to tell you, it was one of the scariest things besides having our first child that I ever went through in my life. The next scary thing, I think the scariest thing was actually being responsible for a baby. That was probably the scariest thing that I ever went through. But moving out is a very, very scary thing. And so what happens a lot of times is that kids, when they hit 18, they go off to college, and maybe you're getting to be about that age, and you're thinking about where you want to go to school, what you want to do with your life, and it's very daunting. It's a very, very scary thing. And so what kids do a lot of times is that they'll go and they'll hang out with other people to get support and help, and they try to make it work, but they don't know how to live. They don't know how to function in society. And I believe that one of the biggest problems that we have in society today, people are telling me all the time, you should just let your kids be kids. And it's about them having a childhood, and it's about them enjoying the childhood that I never had. And I disagree with that completely, and here's why. You ready? The Bible says, raise up a child in the way that he should go, that when he grows old, he will not depart from it. Your childhood is your audition for adulthood. Okay? Your kids are being trained now how to act when they get older and they move out. So if you don't make them clean their room, and if you don't make them have a job, and if you don't make them mow the lawn, and if you don't make them wash dishes now, how do you think it's going to be when they move out of the house? How do you think your son is going to act when he gets married and he doesn't know how to use a laundry machine and he doesn't know how to cook and he doesn't know how to clean? And what do you think he's going to put his poor wife through when he's sitting there and telling her, oh, I thought you were going to do the dishes? And they start buying paper plates because nobody wants to wash the dishes, and there's just this big war in the kitchen. You know, it doesn't make any sense. Parents, I have to tell you, your job as a parent is to teach your kids how to adult. Okay, that's your job, is to teach them how to go out on their own and become good benefits to society, to become people who are going to just touch the world for Christ, that are going to live appropriately and correctly in the world. That's your job as a parent. It's not to give them a good childhood. It's not to give them everything that they want. If they really want something, my dad always had a rule, go get a job and go earn it. And with my family, I believe that my daughters should find a man. I have five daughters and one son, and he's got it in for himself. I mean, he just doesn't know what's going to. Everybody says, oh, he's going to be spoiled. That kid's not going to get away with nothing. But my daughters, we train them now. My oldest is she just turned 12. She knows how to cook, and she knows how to mow the lawn, and she knows how to clean the pool, and actually test for the chemicals in the pool and see what needs to be added and how much, and clean the filter, and we do that together. And she knows how to change diapers and watch her sisters, and she knows how to teach her little sisters how to read, and she knows how to self-study, and she knows how to do the things that adults should know how to do. And I know plenty of adults who have no idea how to change a diaper or how to cook or how to do any of these things. But when she gets married, she's going to be ready to provide for her household, take care of her children, to make sure that her family is set up. She's going to be a Proverbs 31 woman. She's going to be a woman who can get up and cook for her family and provide them good food and provide them clothing and who knows how to shop well and who knows how to get deals and use coupons and all of the other stuff that my wife does that we do together with our children that when they grow old, they will not depart from it. I think this is such an important issue because today so many families have fallen into this idea that let's allow our children just to remain children forever. So when they get into college, they go off on their own with no preparation. And then we're confused. How is it that they became drunks, drug addicts, dropouts, that they're getting in DUIs and they're not being good members of society? What's going on in our families, in our colleges, and all these other things? Why are they into drug abuse, and why are they getting into all of these problems? And the answer becomes very clear when you look at their history as a child. Now, Solomon, it's like he's speaking to a young person getting ready to go out onto their own. It's like he's talking to someone saying, okay, son, you're about to become a man. You're about to become your own person. You're about to get out there on your own. And so these are the most important things I need you to remember as you go out and as you start out on your own and as you start to try to do what's right. I want you to head out in wisdom. I want you to be successful as you go out into the world. Now, some of you are getting ready to go out into the world over the next few years. And my goal for you is this, that you head out in wisdom. Some of you are already out in the world. You're already married. You already have kids, but you're still not out in wisdom. And I want to challenge you today to change your perspective on life. And others of you have been doing this a long time. You know what you're supposed to do. You know what it takes and how hard it is to really live for Christ. I want to encourage you to encourage those who don't, okay? But that's the idea here behind this passage, that we're going to head out in wisdom. And I'd like you to read it with me, because he's talking to his children, and he's beginning in there in verse 8. But before we do, I just want to remind you of one thing. Do not be anxious to leave your parents' home. And let me explain. When you get married, get out. And don't go back. That's the rule, okay? My kids can live with me as long as they're single. But when they get married, guess what? Hey, you got married. Now go deal with it. You said yes. You said this is the one. You made a choice. You don't get to run home and sleep on the couch every time you get in a fight. No, you go home and you deal with it. And you deal with your anger while today is still called today, as the Bible says. And so if you're married and you're running home to your parents' house every once in a while because you're having a fight at home or because you just don't like it or you can't handle the world, you got to understand. The Bible says this, "For this reason shall a man leave his father's house, that he should be joined together with his wife." Now, I love that verse. And you know what I love the most about it? Where it's located at in the Bible. Do you know where God said that? Do you know when God said that? God said that before any children were ever born. before Adam and Eve had ever even tried to have kids. He said it on their wedding day. Now, can you imagine this? God has created the heavens and the earth. Adam's been around a couple of days. Adam has been around less than a day, okay? 6 days. God creates Adam, has him name all the animals. Now he creates Eve on the same day. And God is performing this wedding ceremony. Adam, meet Eve. Eve, meet Adam. Here you are. Be fruitful and multiply. And then the next words out of his mouth are, for this reason shall a man leave his father. Wait a minute. Where's the context? Why would God say it right then? Well, as parents, we have a tendency not to want our kids to leave the house, okay? And that's true. And as kids, they want to leave so fast because they want to get out on their own and prove themselves. But God says, here's the boundary. When they're ready to get married, they're ready to leave home. Until you're ready to get married, you need to remain under your parents' authority. And I stress this because when I went out to the mission field, I had a hard time with this. And the Lord, it was my conviction that the Lord was telling me, okay, go to the mission field. So I went. But even though I was in another location, my father did something interesting. He kept coming down to visit me, and he encouraged me, and he held me accountable, and he'd smack me up on the back of the head sometimes and tell me when I was doing things wrong. And he was there for me, and I was still under his authority. Plus, I had my heavenly father. So if you're going out to the mission field or something like that, I understand. That's why Paul said, if you can remain single and serve the Lord, so be it. But for most of you, you don't have that calling. And leaving your parents' house early without having a relationship with your spouse will lead to sexual sin. It will lead to wrong issues. It will lead to lust and fornication and all of these things, which you don't need to deal with. Do not put yourself in that position. God said, for this reason shall you leave your father's house, to be joined together with your wife. Living together with your girlfriend or your boyfriend is never appropriate. Never appropriate. Now, that may not be popular, but let me just say, that's what God says. Okay? If you want to live together, and if you want to be in a sexual relationship with someone, then you need to be married to a person who is born of the opposite sex. Now, I have to make that clear. You need to be married to a person who is born of the opposite sex. Now, if you meet those qualifications, leave your parents' house. But once you leave, you should try to stay out. Now, I understand that sometimes things happen in life. You lose your job or you need a little bit of help and assistance. But there are people who serially live at their parents' house. It's a meme today, you know, the guy who lives in his mama's basement on his computer all day and all that other stuff. Don't be that person. So we want to raise up our kids. We want to raise up our children that can go out into the world and that can do well in life. Okay. Now, I was talking with a number of brothers this week, and the Lord's just been really working on my heart on a number of things that are exciting to me. And I was thinking about that verse, children are an inheritance from the Lord. And it says that blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. And I was thinking about this idea this week about children and quivers. What is a quiver? It's a thing that holds arrows, right? So if you remember Robin of Locksley, he's got this big thing. It looks like a tube on his back, and it's full of what? Arrows. And so he was famous for being able to shoot a bow and arrow. Now, if you've ever shot a bow and arrow, I've tried. I didn't use one of those cheater things that you hold in your hand that you just click a button and it lets the arrow go. I actually had to sit there, and I had my fingers, and I let it go, and the arrow went wobbled all the way down the... It hit the target, didn't even go in, you know, it just kind of bounced off. It was pathetic. It was really sad. Your children are your arrows in life. And your job is to train yourself on how to use them properly and to train your kids on how to go out into the world. And what are arrows used for? For hunting, for food, for provision, for protection against your enemies, for sport, for all kinds of stuff, right? And so your job is to prepare your children to shoot out into the world and hit the mark and to be successful. and to defeat the enemy that we have in the Lord, which is the enemy of Satan, we need to be able to defend the church and the Lord and what God has given us. We need to be able to provide for our families. These are all the things that arrows do. And you, the parent, are the bowman. You are the person who shoots that arrow out. And your job is to prepare them to go out straight, to prepare them to go out properly. And you can't do that without the Lord and without wisdom. So my challenge to you today is, as we read through this, understand that he says, I want you to be successful, and this is how. So kids, don't be ready to move out of your parents' house so quickly. Don't be ready to go out and start doing things on your own unless the Lord has told you specifically to do so in the mission field. Otherwise, stay at home and allow the Lord to do things in your life. Now here he says in verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Now, let's pause there for a minute. He's talking to the son, getting ready to go out. And he says, son, listen to me, your dad, and do not walk away from what your mama taught you. First, the first order of business is that when you go out, you need to remember the wisdom from home. Okay, so write wisdom in our homes. He wants your house to be full of wisdom. Now, parents, you should be imparting wisdom to your children. Remember that Proverbs are interesting. They are usually generalizations. Not everyone has a parent who speaks wisdom. So not everyone can listen to their parents. I've heard some parents do some really silly things to their kids. I heard of parents telling their kids to do really ridiculous things. Watch YouTube. Don't watch YouTube. But if you did, you would see a whole lot of very silly parents doing very silly things with their children. Parents having a tattoo birthday party for their 8-year-old. Yeah, the guy was a tattoo artist and he decided to use a permanent marker instead of a tattoo gun. But all the kids went home with these tattoos all over their chest and their arms and everything else from this tattoo party. And they thought it was so cool. And I'm just, oh, really? This is what we're raising up kids to do. This is what we're teaching them. I've heard of parents telling their kids, you better not get married until you've at least slept with the person 3-4 times. Know what you're getting into. What's the matter with these parents? Parents giving their children drugs. Parents giving their children alcohol. Parents teaching their children to be evil. So if that's you, if you have a parent who lives on that side of righteousness, the dark side, if we would, then my encouragement to you is find someone in the Lord who can be a spiritual father. Find someone who can be a spiritual mother to you. Find someone who will give you words of wisdom and instruct you. Find a surrogate parent. Adopt a family. Because you need someone to teach you to be wise. One of the problems is that we want to belong. And so what we'll do is we'll find someone to attach ourselves to. And that's why gangs are so prevalent. Because kids want to belong to something. And if your parents aren't spending any time with them, then they will find someone to spend time with. In Nicaragua, we have a youth center because kids only just want to hang out and belong to something bigger than themselves. That's why these after-school programs and sports teams, they take up so much time because parents love it. Oh, I don't have to be a part of my kid's life. This is awesome. I can do what I wanted to do and there's nothing wrong with sports and other things like that, but there's a lot of parents out there who don't want to spend the time with their kids. Whether it's because of their career or because of drugs and alcohol or because they just don't like their kids or whatever it is, there's a lot of parents out there who are not being there for their children. They're not there teaching their children. And so he says, my son, hear the instruction of your father. Now, if you don't have a spiritual father, if you don't have a father that reads God's word and will teach you God's word, then find a spiritual father who can do that. Find someone who will be there for you according to God's word. And the same thing with your mother. But he says, when you go out into the world, you don't just stop remembering what they taught you. One of the worst things that happens is kids who leave the house, they forget 18 years worth of instruction. in 5 minutes. They're just oblivious to everything their parent taught them. And now they have to learn it all again in the school of hard knocks. And I don't know what it is that, you know, the minute I got my driver's license, I was 16. And of course, I was driving all perfect and with the DMV instructor and everything else. And when I passed the test, I was in my grandmother's Oldsmobile Cutlass Sierra. I was, you know, driving that big old boat around. And I remember when I passed my test, they let me drive home by myself. And man, I was going 80 and I was going around corners. And it's like everything I had learned on how to drive appropriately was out the window. I'm free. Don't live that way, he says. Do not live a life where you cast off restraint, where you don't have self-control. Follow the instructions of your parents. Remember when they taught you to clean up after yourselves, and when you're finished with your meal, you clean off your dishes and you clean off the plate and you put it in the dishwasher. At the end of the day, you pick up your room and you pick up your stuff and you get the house all cleaned up. When you're getting ready to go to bed, you lock all the doors and you check all the windows. You don't forget this stuff. You do them over and over again. There is a reason they instruct you to do so. They were looking out for your benefit. Now, once again, I have to say, if you don't have parents who are this way, then find spiritual parents who can be this for you. But find someone to teach you an instruction and then follow through with it. Make it habitual. Make it a habit for you to do these things. This is the key to success, that you have wisdom. So the instruction of your father. Now, when I went and I was out on my own, my dad would call me, or I would call him from the main capital of Managua, of Nicaragua, and I'd call him and tell him what was going on, and he would, I mean, we only had a few minutes on the phone, so it always felt like, man, he's ragging on me again. He'd be like, well, you should do this, and 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 you should do this. And I'd have a 14-hour bus ride home to figure out what he was talking about, and sometimes it got frustrating. You know, why? Oh, he doesn't know, and then all of a sudden I'd do what he said, and it worked, and apparently he does know. Apparently he knew what he was talking about, and I'm just, you know, a kid who doesn't know anything about what I'm doing. And a lot of times I look at my coworkers, I look at people around me, I look at people out in the world, and I think, don't you realize what you're doing to yourself? Don't you realize what you're doing to your family? Don't you realize? I mean, if you just listen to me, if you just stop for a minute and listen to wise counsel. Have you ever watched somebody destroy their life and they won't listen to anybody because they think they know best? Maybe they destroy their marriage. Maybe they destroy their career because they just won't listen to counsel. So he says, look, live in a home founded on wisdom. How do you do that? Well, your mother and your father, spiritually speaking, for they will be graceful ornament around on your head and chains about your neck. So you can picture Mr. T with the chains around his neck. And some of you don't even know who Mr. T is. I just realized that with a whole lot of blank stares. Jay-Z, that's another one, right? Didn't he wear chains or something like that? I don't know. Anyway, you can picture a guy with all these gold chains around his neck, and he thinks he's all that because he's got these gold chains, you know, and he's all walking around kind of leaning over a little bit because it's a little heavy on his shoulder. People like to adorn themselves, you know, with chains, and they like to adorn themselves with things like that. But he says, the real adornment, the real thing that makes you look amazing isn't gold. It's not some jewel on your head. It's wisdom. Go live right. And if you can be a person who's living right and doing what's right, people are going to notice you. They're going to say, man, there's something different about them. Wisdom in our homes. But look at what he says in verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you. Now, that's the first thing that happens when you leave your parents' house. I'm free. I have no responsibility. I can do whatever I want. No one's going to tell me what to do. And then, hey, you want some of this? Yeah. Hey, you want to come over here with us? Yes, I want to. Hey, you want to come to a party? That sounds amazing. Let's go. And what ends up happening is as you get out there into the world, you do a lot of dumb things. You ruin your life in a lot of different ways. And you don't realize that there's a lot of consequences to those things. And so he says, listen, son, if sinners entice you, don't consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Doesn't that sound like a bad idea? Let us lurk secretly for innocent without cause. Doesn't that sound like a terrible thing to do? Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, like hell, and whole like those who go down to the pit. Doesn't this sound like a bad idea? This just sounds terrible. It's like you went to a Satan worshipers conference, and there they are telling you their game plan for the rest of the day. It's like, what's going on here? Then he says, and we shall find all kinds of precious possessions, and we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us, and let us all have one purse. Now, here's where it comes down to it. You need to have wisdom in your relationships. Write that on that second line. You should have written wisdom in your homes on the first line, wisdom in your relationships on your second line. He who walks with wise men will himself become wise, the Bible says. But if you accompany fools, what are you going to be like? Fools. How many of you have one of those friends that whenever you're around them, they make you lose 30 IQ points? Anybody have one of those? Anybody else have one of those? Okay. It's like you guys hang out and all of a sudden your IQ just dropped 30 points and you do things that you would never do when you're not around them. What happens? Well, if you're going to walk around with foolish people, you're going to act like foolish people. And he says, son, look, there are people out there who are going to entice you. Now, notice what he says. If sinners entice you. If sinners entice you, if people try to get you to do what's wrong. Now, notice what he says. Number one, you got to recognize that this is a bad person trying to convince you to do something. If sinners entice you. It's not if your friends entice you, or if the church entices you, or if good people try to get you to do what's right. He says, notice, and you have to conscientiously look at the people who are trying to get you to do things in life. You have to look at the character and the moral standing of the people who are talking to you. Okay? If a guy who is doing evil things in life, who you know to be a thief or a liar or any of these things, is trying to convince you to do something, you can probably bet that he's trying to get you to do something that will end poorly for you. Right? So if Jeffrey Dahmer came up to you and said, now you laugh because, well, it's Jeffrey Dahmer, right? I just realized some of you don't know who that is. He was a serial killer. So if a gangbanger walks up to your car in the middle of South LA, right around 9 o'clock at night, he says, hey, want to come hang out with us? No, thanks. Why were your windows down in the first place? That's probably the first question. Think about it. If you notice somebody is not, they're not right. They're not what I should be hanging out with. They're not, they're sinners. They're evil. I mean, if an axe murderer says, as he's holding the bloody axe, hey, come join me. No, thanks. It's a bad idea. But here's the problem. They never look like axe murderers. You know what the problem with homicidal maniacs is? They look like everyone else, don't they? This is one of the problems that we're having in our country today. And if you look at this quote-unquote war on terror, and if you look at what's going on in our nation today, how do you know who's a terrorist and who's not? This is not a new problem, by the way. We had the same problem in Vietnam. How could you tell who was Viet Cong and who wasn't? It was hard because they weren't all wearing uniforms. And in 1 minute, there'd be this person out picking rice out of a field, and the next minute they're shooting an AK-47 at you, and you couldn't tell who was who. And that's one of the reasons we found it so difficult to fight that battle, because we could not tell them apart. Now, this is a scary thought, because I want you to think about it. I have a lot of friends who are from the Middle East, and they're wonderful people. So how do you know if someone's a terrorist or not? It gets really difficult sometimes, doesn't it? When the world comes at you, when the world tries to convince you or entice you to do evil things, they don't look like evil people. They look like, look at the end. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions, and we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast your lot in among us. Let us all have one purse. They look successful. They look happy. They look rich. They look like they know what they're doing. The Bible says that Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light. So when you see that light at the end of the tunnel, run away. That's not anybody waiting for you, but the enemy trying to convince you to let go. Because to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. And I want to encourage you to notice what he says here. You have to learn to identify people. That's called discernment. How do you know someone's a sinner or not? How can you tell if you should be listening to counsel? Well, are they giving you God's word? Are they giving you... And I just have a basic theory to give you, okay? Don't trust someone's counsel unless they've proven to be a godly person. That's a pretty simple way of looking at it, isn't it? Don't trust somebody's counsel unless you've been able to prove that they are in God's word. Now, do we get it wrong sometimes? Even as a pastor, I mess up sometimes, okay? But find people who have a godly character, who seek the Lord in their personal lives, who preach the word, who read the word, who understand the word. Get counsel from who? From them. But just because someone is successful monetarily or in the world does not mean that you should be listening to them. You know, when you watch these commercials about buying stuff, what are they doing on TV? And I don't have TV at my house anymore. We got rid of it. We got rid of the cable. We got rid of the antenna on the roof. And so there is no way to watch broadcast television in my home. And it's amazing. It was the best thing that we could have ever done. There was a little war going on right after I cut off the... I didn't tell anybody. I just did it. It's the best way. It's like ripping off a Band-Aid. You know, you don't want to give them an opportunity to say no. But in the end, it's been amazing. Now, we watch, you know, different like internet videos and stuff like that, Netflix and things of that nature. So it's not like we're against TV. It's just that some of the commercials and some of the junk that they have, okay, if you want to buy a Carl's Jr. hamburger, they don't tell you how juicy it is. They don't tell you how good it tastes. They don't tell you what the ingredients are. They put a half-naked person on television and they say, look at this successful, beautiful person. You should eat our hamburgers. Come, throw your lot in with us. Let us have one purse. It's the exact same thing. They're using fornication. They're using lust. They're using sin to entice you to buy something. And that's why I personally try not to go to Carl's Jr. It's not because, I mean, I love their hamburgers. They have good food, but they have evil practices in their advertising, and I just don't want to go there. Sometimes, if somebody else says, hey, you want to go out to lunch? I'll say, sure. And if they say, hey, let's go over here, and okay. I'm not going to try to impose my issues on them. And if I do that, they might be turned off to the gospel. So I don't want to go out there and say, oh, I'm not going there, because then you look like a nutcase, you know? So where do you eat? Home. But I try to do my best to make sure that I'm not going to live and to give in to those things. Now, think about it. Because when you're out in the world, how does the world entice you? They're not going to say, hey, go sleep around and get a venereal disease. Have you ever noticed they leave that part out? Hey, let's commit tax fraud and then you can go to jail. They don't mention that part in there, do they? You know, you have these kids on TV the other day who stole a car and they were going on this high-speed chase and doing donuts in the street. And afterwards, all the TV cameras showed them high-fiving their buddies and hanging out waiting for the cops just to show up. I wish the news would do a follow-up And here he is in prison. And here he is getting into a fight with one of the prisoners here who didn't like him. And here's his bloody face after he got in the fight. And here is him in solitary confinement for the past 5 days because he didn't listen to the corrections officer. And here is him trying to get a job 5 years later when no one will hire him. See, I wish they would do some follow-up on the news and let young people know that these things that they're enticing you to do that look so cool are not cool at all. Just ask a single mom who got pregnant when she was 15 or 16. How was it? Don't ask her right then. Ask her 10 years from now. Oh, he told me he loved me. Of course he told you he loved you. But you see, that's the thing. You have to look for people. Don't listen to people who don't have a track record for being wise, for being in God's word. And this is what's going on. He says, my son, if sinners entice you, so how do you notice who's a sinner? Well, sinners will have you do what's against God's word, and wise people will have you do what's in God's word. So if the world is saying, look, you're intolerant unless you accept all of the stuff that we want to be able to do, the homosexual agenda, abortion, all these other things that are going on in the world today, right? All this weird stuff that they're trying to tell us is good. Now they're talking about polygamy and polyamory. That's the next thing that they want to legalize in our country. And it's just going downhill from there. Then after that, it'll be pedophilia and other things that they're just going to continue to try to legalize because they want to do what they want to do. And so when you look at the world is going to tell you to do what we want. And the Bible's going to tell you to do what God wants. And that's the deal. Sinners do what they want. But wise people do what God wants. So if you're being enticed to do something, don't sleep with him. Don't live with her. Unless it's according to God's law. Don't go out and hang out with those guys and get drunk and get loaded and all that other stuff. Because that goes against God's word. Don't go out and do these things because, so you have a filter. You are responsible for filtering out what you do. And so in your relationships, choose to have relationships with people who are wise, with people who will encourage you to do what's right, who will encourage you to live according to God's word. Now, there are a lot of things that he says, come, let us shed blood. They're not going to say, hey, let's go kill somebody. You know what they're going to say? Oh, you don't want to ruin your life with that. You know, it's okay. There's a procedure that will get rid of the baby. All you have to do is come to the Planned Parenthood clinic and they'll take care of this. It's going to be better for everyone. You don't want that child to grow up with a single mom, do you? You don't want him to leave you when he finds out you're pregnant, do you? Oh, come on. This is the best for everyone. See, that's how they're going to present abortion. Not, hey, let's go murder your innocent unborn child by injecting saline acid and salty acid into your womb and then burn the flesh off of the baby alive. And then we're going to vacuum him out in pieces. They don't tell you about the reality. They don't say that this is murder and you're dismembering a human baby within your body because you decided not to follow God's written word. They don't present it that way because if they did, most people wouldn't want to get an abortion. Most sane people would say, that's nasty. I don't want to do that. I'd rather go through 9 months of discomfort, maybe lose a relationship, have the baby give them up for adoption. But I'm not going to do that to a human being. I'm not a murderer. See, if you were to present it as a murder, come, let us lie in wait to shed blood. You would say, that's ridiculous. I don't want to do that. But when they say, hey, let me help you fix your life. I'm going to make everything better. You're going to keep your relationship with your boyfriend. You're not going to have to let your body get disfigured. Nothing's going to go wrong. We're going to fix this. And you're going to live happily ever after. Let's go murder your unborn child. See, that's wrong. But they don't present it with the truth. So here he's saying, what they're asking you to do is wicked. If you've got someone pressuring you to get into a sexual relationship with them, they don't love you. Not unless they're willing to marry you first. They don't love you. They just want to steal from you the most precious thing that you have to give to your future spouse. That's what they want to do. They want to steal it from you. They want to take that away from you so that you will have nothing left to give. But they don't say that. They don't say, I'm trying to steal your virginity. They say, oh, I want you to prove your love to me. Come on, if we really love each other, this isn't a big deal. Or even worse, nowadays, they're just saying, sex isn't a big deal at all anyway. It doesn't matter. It's not important. It's not relevant. He says, do not consent. Don't go out with those people who lurk secretly for the innocent without cause, who want to make fun of people and hurt people and all these other things. And, you know, they give you this promise of possessions and wealth and power. Look at Wall Street. Isn't that really what we're talking about here too? If you look at it and you see that they're willing to manipulate stock markets and to buy and sell and put people out in, and you have all these people like Bernie Madoff and others who have done so many wicked things to benefit off of other people's finances. And so he says, don't do this. You need to remember the instruction that you had at home, but you also need to keep your relationships as wise relationships. You need to keep them as wise. Consider your life as a boat. And you have a captain, and you have a first mate, and you have a crew. And if they all work together, that boat's going to get to its destination. But if you have some crazy guy drilling holes in the bottom of the boat, you're not going to make it. So don't let him on the boat. If you have in your relationships somebody who is trying to destroy your life by drilling holes in the bottom of your boat, you're going to sink. So get rid of that relationship in your life. And maybe right now the Lord's put somebody on your heart. Maybe as we've been talking, someone in your life fits the bill. Someone in your life has been pressuring you into doing wickedness, whether it be fornication or murder or steal or lie or whatever it is. They've been pressuring you to do wickedness in your life. And my challenge to you is to say no more. Maybe you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend and they want to live together. No. No, it's time to say no. Now, if they want to live with you, then hey, we're going to separate for a little bit. We're going to get married and then we can live together. And that's awesome. But not before. There's got to be a focus on the Lord in your life. You will not attain greatness following after the world, for the wages of sin is death. Yeah, your friends are going to tell you, hey, come drinking with us. It'll really help your problems by making you forget them. How many of you have realized, out of the older people who have been on your own for a while, ignoring the debt collectors doesn't make them go away? Has anyone realized this? Okay, because the next morning, even though you turned off your phone, guess what? You still owe that money. Ignoring your problems doesn't make them go away. Getting drunk at night and trying to forget your problems doesn't make it go away. You know, I, as a kid, I learned I don't want to get drunk. Because all these people were out getting drunk, and I saw how dumb they got when they got drunk. And I took advantage of them. It was evil. But let me ask you a question. If you get drunk and you don't deal with your problems, aren't you just making them worse? Or you get sober and you realize that you have issues and you're so uncomfortable that you deal with your issues, you overcome your issues, you right the wrongs that you've already done, and you live appropriately from this point on. See, that is success right there. But that's not what they're going to tell you. They're going to tell you, come forget your problems, hang out with us at the bar, run a tab. That way, by the time you get your paycheck, you're so broke, you're going to want to be here again. And that's okay. And they're going to let you keep doing that and doing that and doing that. And get rid of those relationships. Get rid of those relationships. You don't want to be there. The last thing he says is in verse 15 through 19. We need to have wisdom and remember the wisdom that we got at home. We need to have wisdom in our relationships, because that's the number one way you're going to go astray, is when you have bad friends who convince you to do terrible things. But finally, he says, my son, don't walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread, but in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owner. So don't look to get rich quick. Stop buying lotto tickets. Okay? If you won, it would be the end of you. And if you didn't win, it'll be the end of your finances. So just stop. Nothing good comes from the lottery. Okay? 70% of everybody who wins the lottery, divorced, bankrupt, or dead within 1 year. Did you know that? Not a good idea. No. Now, the last thing he's talking about, you'll notice that in verse 10 through 14, he's talking about the enticement and the relationship. But in verses 15 through 19, he's talking about the direction in their lives, right? They walk in their way, their path, they run, they make haste. So it's talking about he's using descriptive words that are talking about the direction of their lives. And I want you to write on the last line of your outlines, wisdom in our plans. What is your goal in life? You know, growing up, I never wanted to live in a van down by the river. That was not my aspiration in life. You know, you go to any elementary school, and the teachers ask their kids, oh, little Bobby, what do you want to be when you grow up? You'd expect astronaut, fireman, entrepreneur even nowadays, right? Software engineer maybe, president. But you're never going to hear somebody say, I want to be a bum. I'd like to be homeless. I think that is really the direction I want to run my life towards. Yeah, you know, I was thinking leprosy, but I haven't decided between leprosy and maybe, you know, syphilis. I haven't really picked which one I'd like to end up with in my life. No one thinks that way. That's crazy talk. And if you found a kid who said that, you're going to want to take them away from their parents at that point, okay? You're going to want to try to find someone else to help this child because obviously somebody's messed up. You would say, that's crazy. What direction are you running in your life? Where are you going? Where are you headed? So many times we lose track of where we're going. People who are just running with their friends because their friends are going in that direction and they don't want to feel alone, they don't think ahead to where is this going to lead me in the future. You know, if you go out and you have friends and you start sleeping around and you start doing these things and you get a venereal disease or you get pregnant, where do you think this is leading? Is this leading to a nice house, white picket fence, 2.5 kids, a solid relationship, and a lasting marriage? No, it's not. It's leading you to the place where you're going to be a single mom on her own. You're going to be untouchable to most people. You're not going to have time for anything else but taking care of your kid and working, and that's it. But if we told you that up front, if they told you that up front, what would you do? You'd probably say, I don't want that. So he's saying, look at the direction of your life. Wisdom is looking at where I come from, who I'm walking with, and where are we walking towards. That's the idea behind this passage. So when all your friends are out there partying and drinking, and where is their life headed? Cirrhosis, liver failure, general depression, and never making any money because they're wasting it on alcohol. That's where your life is headed. How many of you figured that out by now? That's where drinking leads you. It never leads to anything good. Have you noticed? Drug abuse, crack cocaine doesn't lead to anything good. Have we figured this out yet? And so he's saying, look at the direction and where is their path taking them? Just follow it to its logical conclusion. So if you teach your kids, parents, to work hard, to honor their parents, to have good relationships, and to focus on the long term, you will have successful kids. That's what he's saying here. And kids, if you're still, and I call kids anybody who's still living under the umbrella of their parents, okay? If you are still not married and you're out there serving the Lord, or if you're still doing this, look at the direction of your life. Where is it going? Are you following the teachings of your spiritual parents? Are you having good relationships? Are you joining yourself to people who are going to help you get to the right destination? And are you aiming for somewhere that God has called you to go? When I got saved, I realized I wanted to help people and I didn't know how. So I decided I was going to be an agriculture professor. started going to college and I was taking these classes and I knew what I wanted to be. I knew where I was going with it because I wanted to help people. I was still a Christian. I was working full time. I was, you know, tithing, helping out at the church. I was teaching and I was doing a lot of ministry and I had all this stuff going on and it was awesome. And I thought, okay, that's a good direction for my life. Now God ended up steering my life in a different location. He said, hey, that's a great plan for somebody else, but you're going to the mission field. And he took me down to Nicaragua, and I ended up there for a long time. And then he brought me back up here, and I'm just following the Lord wherever he leads. But it's really easy to turn a car or a boat that's already going forward. You know what's really hard? Go out to the parking lot and try to turn a car that's not moving. Can't do it, can you? It's too hard. But if that car is just driving down, it doesn't take a whole lot to turn the steering wheel, does it? Because it's already moving. So God got my direction. He got me focused on something good. And then he kind of changed my course a little bit. But I didn't have to turn all the way around. So my question to you is, where is your life heading? Are you heading towards a godly marriage? Are you heading towards a godly relationship with your spouse? Are you heading towards bringing people into the kingdom and being honorable before the Lord and being able to stand before the Lord and him say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. Is that where your life is heading right now? And if not, then my challenge to you is very quickly get rid of those relationships in your life that are toxic. Get rid of them. Go back to basics. Go back to God's word. And find out what is true and right and holy, not because it's appropriate according to the world. You know, the world, they don't like God's word because it's very convicting. He's very clear on what you should or shouldn't do. So they're going to say, oh, I don't like that part. Oh, I don't like this part either. Is there anything in here that's good? And I got to tell you, they're not going to want to hear it. So if you have friends or relationships that they don't like God's word, okay, I'm done. I've got to move on because that's toxic to me. It's toxic to my goal of meeting Jesus Christ face to face and have him tell me that I've done well. So let's start in reverse. Plan your destination. If your destination is heaven, then find relationships that are going to get you there. And base it on the wisdom that you either learned at home from your real parents or that you learned at church from your spiritual parents. But follow after Christ through his word. Surround yourself with people who will help you get there. And I guarantee you something. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a lot of hard work. You're going to sweat. You're going to cry. You're going to fail sometimes, but you're going to succeed. You're going to succeed. So it's time that we start succeeding in wisdom. That we head out today. We're getting ready for a really long work week, aren't we? So here you go. Here's your chance. Head out in wisdom. Surround yourself with people who will help you get success. Father, as we come before you, we thank you that you're just so kind to us to give us your word, Lord, that you would give us the ability to serve you, to honor you, to worship you. And as we come before you, Lord, we pray that you would just continue to teach us how to honor you no matter what. Lord, as we come before you, we pray that you would help us to see you for who you are. Lord, there's so many times that we get distracted by the things of this world, the cares of this world, or people who want to try to convince us, Father, that they have something that we need, when in reality, all we need is you. So I pray that tonight that you would just focus our hearts, keep us safe. Father, purify our relationships and give us good success. In Jesus' name, amen.